And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I've got a question for you. Are you ready for it? Here it comes. What do you think about fake things? Yeah, fake things. You know, like fake people, fake attitudes, fake fill in the blank. Yeah, most of you don't like things that are fake. You like things that are real, right? You like tangible, real things. And fake things are something that you don't want to deal with. But we deal with fake things in our society every day. We do. Turn on the news, you might get some fake information. You might get some real information, but you might get some fake information mixed in with it. Why do you think they do that? I think they do it because they're trying to stimulate you. They're trying to give you information. They're trying to get you to tune in because that's how they get their ratings. So maybe they'll give you some fake information just to get you to tune in because they know that fake information is going to get you all spun up. And then when you tune in, maybe they dissolve the fake information and they give you real information. And then you're like, did I just get duped? Because that's exactly the way you feel, right? It's kind of like when you go on the internet. Now, one of my favorite sites out there, and this is kind of a new thing for me, is YouTube. Yeah, I am finding that I'm spending more time on YouTube than I've ever spent on YouTube ever before. And here's what I'm noticing about YouTube. There's a lot of fake information on YouTube. There is. There's a lot of real information, but there's a lot of fake information too. So how do you discern between the two? Well, part of it has to do with your ability to reason. Yeah, I'm serious about that. Your ability to reason, not mine, but yours, because you're the one that has to determine what is fake and what is real. It's not that easy to do, is it? No, it's not that easy to do, especially when you're in an area that you're not knowledgeable about or you're not comfortable with. That leads me to my topic today. What I'm going to talk about is a topic that might lead you to think I'm giving you some fake information. Now, the assets that I'm going to talk about today, and I'm going to talk about some assets, in my opinion, are considered fake. These are fake assets. Now, some of you are thinking, are you talking about my 401k or my IRA? No. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. The plexes. They are sometimes referred to as fake multifamily assets in real estate. And here's why. There is a perception that their larger counterparts, considered pure multifamily, are real multifamily, and your duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes are fake multifamily. Now, there's already a problem, because when we say duplex, triplex, or fourplex, we're talking about an asset that has multiple living elements to it. Multiple living dwellings. Multiple, as in multiple families could live in that asset. But they're perceived as fake. And here's one of the reasons why. Definitions. Yeah, definitions. Duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes are often classified as well as single family assets as residential properties by lenders. And some of you are thinking, wait a minute, aren't pure multifamily residential dwellings? Yeah, technically they are. But anything 5 units or more is actually classified as commercial property, not residential property. And one of the distinctions that are out there with regards to the duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes is the fact that there are residential-based loans that are available for these properties. They have different terms, lower down payment requirements in some instances, and they're easier to qualify for compared to commercial loans, which might, depending on how you're purchasing, require a higher down payment and stricter underwriting than what is required for a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex. Now, some investors argue that this residential financing makes them less like true multifamily investments, which rely on commercial financing tied to the property's income potential. Yeah, how the properties are valued are completely different. Single family, duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes are all valued essentially the same way as residential properties. In other words, an appraiser is going to go in and they're going to look at what like-kind properties have sold for in a similar area, in similar condition, and they're going to qualify your selling price. Whereas pure multifamily is valued based on the income stream of the asset. Now, those plexes, they have an income stream, but that income stream is not used to determine valuation. You have to get to 5 units or more in order to use that methodology. So what we've done right now is we've outlined some differences between residential and commercial properties. But it really also boils down to where you live in the country, because there are parts of the country that will market duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes as multifamily. They will market them as multifamily. They will try and convey the asset as multifamily. But one of the things that happens is that the lending guidelines are different. So there are different lending guidelines for you if you're looking to buy a plex, i.e. residential property, versus a true multifamily asset, which is 5 units or more. I don't know if I pointed that out earlier in the show, but let me point that out right now. True multifamily starts at 5 units to the asset, and it goes up from there. You could have 50 units, and it would be multifamily. You could have 100 units, and it would be multifamily. You could have 1,000 units, and it would be multifamily. Now, I'm not so sure I'd want to buy a 1,000-unit apartment complex, because based on what I know on how to make money out of these apartments, that seems like too big of an asset for me to buy, because I need to be able to improve the asset. And unless I'm really going to go full tilt on a 1,000-unit apartment community, I'm not sure I could get that done as effectively as I could get it done maybe in a 50-unit or 100-unit or 200-unit, which leads me to something called economies of scale. Larger multifamily properties typically involve economies of scale with centralized maintenance, leasing teams, even potentially higher cash flow potential. Some investors view the 1 to 4 unit properties as lacking the scale, making them feel less multifamily and more like an extension of single family investing. Kind of goes against the argument that some parts of the country view the plexes as multifamily, right? But a big portion of the country does not. Now, in real estate investing communities, some investors emphasize that true multifamily investing involves larger properties with significant unit costs to diversify risk. As an example, if you have a resident that leaves a 50-unit apartment community, the impact is minimal compared to a resident leaving a duplex. Does that make sense? I mean, if you think about it, you're looking at one out of 50 units going vacant versus a duplex where half of the building just went vacant. It could have some significant impact on your ability to make money if you buy a duplex and you're always having one of the units go vacant. That would be a problem. Now, duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes are usually seen as entry-level investments, often targeted by newer investors and those using house hacking strategies. In other words, living in one unit and renting out the others. This perception leads some to label them as fake multifamily because they don't align with the institutional or large-scale investment strategies that the bigger players utilize. And that's kind of where all this stuff comes about. You're either in commercial investments or you're in residential investments. One of the two. And you can't be in both at once unless you own a residential asset and a commercial asset. Does that make sense? Okay. What about some of the regulatory and zoning differences regarding the properties? In some municipalities, 1 to 4 unit properties are zoned and regulated similarly to single family homes with fewer restrictions than larger multifamily buildings, which may face stricter building codes, parking requirements, and resident regulations. This regulatory element is similar to single family properties and reinforces the fake multifamily label for some of us. It does. Now, there are some counter arguments out there. The first one I'm going to give you, and I kind of said this earlier in the show, but I'm going to say it again. A multifamily property is any residential building with more than one unit. A duplex has 2 units, triplex 3 units, fourplex 4 units, and it clearly fits the definition regardless of financing or scale. What about cash flow and investment potential? Well, these properties, these plexes, have the ability to generate strong cash flow, especially for smaller investors or those using government-backed loans to buy the property. They also allow for value-add strategies such as renovations to increase rents, which is similar to their larger multifamily properties. And here's the other argument, or counter-argument, I should say. Accessibility for beginners. Duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes serve as an accessible entry point into multifamily investing, offering many of the same benefits, in other words, multiple streams of income, shared maintenance costs, without the complexity of operating a larger property. Now, some investors praise 1 to 4 unit properties as ideal for beginners due to their affordability and residential financing, while others dismiss them as fake multifamily purely because they lack the scale, the commercial financing, or the institutional appeal of larger complexes. And an article that I read from a couple years ago noted that 1 to 4 unit properties accounted for approximately 40% of multifamily housing stock in the United States, underscoring their significance. Yet institutional investors, such as REITs, don't target them. They focus instead on 5 or more unit properties, which fuels the perception of them being less serious multifamily assets. So what do you think? Are plexes fake or are they real? Well, they're real, but I still kind of feel that they're fake multifamily. I do. It's just something that's ingrained in me. But there are some things that go on with those fake multifamily assets that are really good for you as an investor. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some of those things. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so by talking about the topic of fake multifamily. Now, I know there are those of you out there that don't agree with me, and that's totally fine. Welcome to America, where differing viewpoints, man, they make my day. They really do. Differing viewpoints make my day. And I love being an American because I get the opportunity to talk with people that have different viewpoints on different subjects. Now, of course, I believe that I'm correct, but every once in a while, I'm proven that I'm wrong. So what am I getting at? Here's where I'm getting at. Maybe, just maybe, duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes aren't as fake as I think they are. Because let's analyze it real quick. It's an asset. A plex is an asset. It's a residential income producing asset because people that pay you the money to utilize the space are residing there. They're living in that space. Same thing for pure multifamily. Same thing. No different. I mean, we can bring up the scale arguments and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, people are willing to exchange upwards of one third of what they make for the opportunity to live in the residential space that you're providing. Now, there's a couple of different ways to go about buying these plexes. There are. There's a couple ways to do it. So why don't we talk about some of the property designation classifications, and then let's get into some of the residential loans that are available only for plexes and not available to commercial assets. First of all, properties with 1 to 4 units are treated as residential by lenders, the lending community, which, by the way, is regulated by the United States government. This aligns the plexes with single-family homes in terms of financing. This classification is rooted in federal lending guidelines, such as those set by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which cap residential properties at 4 units. So right there is your proof that the government's got its hands into what we're considering doing. But that's okay. It's totally fine. We don't necessarily need to worry about what the government's doing. Or do we? Okay, we're not going to worry about what the government's doing. Residential loans for 1 to 4 unit properties are underwritten based on the borrower's personal financial profile. Let me say that again. Underwritten based on your personal financial profile. So what do they look at? They look at your credit score. If you got a decent credit score, you're probably going to get the loan. If you got an excellent credit score, you're definitely going to get the loan. And if you got a terrible credit score, chances are you won't get the loan. It's just the way it works. They also look at your debt to income ratio. So in other words, they're going to look at where are you paying your money on a recurring basis in your lifestyle. Do you have a mortgage? That mortgage counts against you because there's no income to offset that mortgage. So that mortgage goes on your debt side to compare to your income. What about a car note? Yeah, it counts against you. What about credit card debt? Same, counts against you. What about income sources? Do they use the property's income to qualify you? The answer is no. They use your personal income. And in many cases, they want you to have a job. Yeah, they want you to have a job. They want you to have income that supports the asset just in case everybody moves out and you got to make the mortgage payment with zero people in the asset. For properties with 5 or more units, lenders use a different type of financing. They use commercial financing, which focuses on the property's net operating income and the debt service coverage ratio, DSCR. Now, that DSCR, it can be used to buy the plexus. In other words, if you don't have a job, there is now DSCR financing available to you so that you can use some of the income in the asset to help qualify you for the loan. This is something that's relatively new to the industry. And I think it works great, because here's one of the problems you're going to have. If you are a single family investor and you're buying assets and you've chosen single family assets as the vehicle you're going to use to get yourself to a place of retirement, as you're buying those single family assets, the lender wants you to have a job. In order to qualify for the next asset, you still have to have a job in order to qualify for the next asset. So you get to a point where, let's say it takes you 20 single family homes to retire yourself. Now, I don't know your personal situation. I'm just throwing a number out there. And let's say that number is 20. So you get to 20 single family homes, you've retired yourself, and you decide, oh, you know what? I'm gonna quit my job. I don't need that job anymore. I've got income coming from 20 single family houses that's replaced my income. Therefore, I don't need that job. So you quit that job. And then you decide, you know what? I still have capital to invest. And I like the cash flow coming from these single family houses. I'm going to go buy house number 21. So you decide to go out and buy house number 21. And the first thing the lender says is, Where are you working, Mr. Jones? And you go, well, funny you should ask, because I quit that job. And you know what the lender says? I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, but we cannot loan you any money because you do not meet our lending guidelines. Well, when you have a DSCR loan option available to you as a single family investor, you can quit that job. And you can use that DSCR financing to qualify you for property number 21. Pretty cool stuff. So getting back to commercial loans typically can require a higher down payment, anywhere from 20% or more, and tend to have shorter loan terms. In other words, maybe a 30-year amortization with a 5 to 10-year balloon payment. They have stricter underwriting, and they're less accessible to smaller investors because they are a little bit harder to qualify for. It's just the nature of what they are. So there's actually a benefit to you if you buy a Plex, because the lending guidelines are not only easier, they're more favorable to your ability to qualify. There are different types of residential loans that are available for Plexes. There's conventional loans, which are offered by banks, and they're usually backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. And these loans are available to both owner-occupants, in other words, people that decide they're going to live in one of the units and rent the others out, and investors. Now, an investor is somebody that does not live in the property. Now, technically, you're investing in the asset, but you're not considered an owner-occupant because you don't live there. Now, FHA, you've heard of FHA. They are the Federal Housing Administration. And they're very popular for 1 to 4 unit properties, especially if you decide you want to be an owner-occupant. They allow for down payments as low as 3.5%. Now, that applies if you're an owner-occupant. If you are an investor, you're going to be paying about 20% down. But here's the neat thing. You can qualify with a credit score as low as 580. Yeah, you heard me correctly. 580, which makes them very attractive for first-time buyers or people that want a house hack. In other words, people that want to live in one of the units and rent the other units out. FHA loans are a great option for many of you out there. And whether or not you know it or not, I'm here to tell you, the FHA provides a ton of loans on Plexus. They really do. Now, there's another type of loan out there that could work for you, but this type of loan is a very restricted loan, meaning it's only available to certain eligible people. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about veterans and active duty service members who qualify for VA financing, VA home loan entitlements. Now, the VA will allow you to borrow with 0% down for a 1 to 4 unit property. if you occupy one unit. Now, there's no private mortgage insurance requirement for VA loans, unlike FHA or conventional loans, with low down payment options. And the reason for that is that the government guarantees the loan. Therefore, the borrower, i.e. you, doesn't have to pay private mortgage insurance in order to cover the differential between where they'd really like you to be at a loan-to-value level compared to where you're actually at. Now, there are portfolio loans out there too. And some local banks and credit unions offer non-conforming portfolio loans for investors, which may have more flexible terms, but they might have higher interest rates and fees. So what's a portfolio loan for? It's when you take a group of properties and you get one loan to cover all of those properties. It's actually a strategy that we follow as Lifestyles Unlimited members. So what am I getting at? Well, we like to take advantage of conventional financing. Sometimes we'll take advantage of FHA financing. Sometimes we'll take advantage of VA financing. But as we're buying these assets, once we get to a certain number, and that number is 10 properties in your name. When you have 10 properties in your name, you no longer qualify for any of these loan programs. You've maxed out. So how do you resolve that? How do you get another 10 properties available for you to purchase? You do a portfolio loan. So you have one loan that covers the 10 properties that you have. That loan is not considered eligible for competition against the conventional loans, the FHA loans, or the VA loans, because it's not a government-backed program. Did you hear me correctly? It's not government-backed. It's something that a private lender is going to offer you. Many banks, many credit unions offer these non-conforming portfolio loans for investors, which can have flexible terms, and even more flexible terms than what you're used to with the government-backed ones. But again, as I mentioned before, the interest rate might be a little higher, and the fees might be a little higher. But as long as it makes sense financially, why wouldn't you do it? Especially if you want to get home number 11 through 20, right? Because I think I pointed out at the beginning of the show that many Lifestyles Unlimited members, I don't know if I pointed this out, but I'll just tell you that we use 20 properties as our example. So in order to get to 20 properties, if you're going to use the government-backed loans, you got to get to 10. You got to resolve those 10 loans. You put a portfolio loan on it. That frees up all 10 of those loans. They go away, and it resets your odometer to zero. Now, the residential financing for 1-4 unit properties allows for lower barriers to entry. In other words, potentially lower down payments if you're going to be an owner-occupant. It does allow for easier qualification compared to commercial loans for larger multifamily properties. Now, some investors will argue this makes them less like true multifamily investments, which rely on commercial financing tied to the property's cash flow and operational performance. But at this point, do we really care how we're classifying the plexes as fake or not fake? At this point, I think what we're realizing is that those plexes offer us a viable investment asset class that may make perfect sense to us as we're looking to transition away from what we were doing for retirement into what we will be doing for retirement, which is living off the cash flow and allowing those assets to grow the equities in those assets, thereby giving us big capital gains wins. The other thing I want to point out is that residential loans are more accessible to individual investors, including those with limited experience or capital, which reinforce the perception that 1-4 unit properties are entry level or quote unquote less serious multifamily assets compared to larger institutional finance complexes. Now, I'm here to tell you, I've owned plexes, and they have a place in your portfolio. Not for everybody, but for me, they had a great place in my portfolio because every time I bought an asset, I got multiple units, thereby getting multiple streams of income from that one asset. And you know what that did for me? Gave me great cash flow, gave me great returns on investment, gave me everything that I was looking for when it comes to real estate assets and what they can do for me. Now, there's a property that just came on the market in Tennessee, was sent to me by the Lifestyles Unlimited Realty team, Vincent Sennett, and this is a fourplex. It is a four-bedroom, three-bath per side, so it's on the bigger side. It's about 6,600 square feet, and it was built last year. Now, the property is on the market for $1,100,000, but it has an after-repair value of $1,320,000. That gives us $220,000 of captured equity in the asset. Kind of interesting, huh? When we calculate the cost of sale, when we calculate the repairs that we have to do on this asset, which are not a lot because it's a fairly new property, our estimated equity capture after acquisition costs, after repairs, $192,000. You heard me correctly, $192,000. Now, it's going to take about $308,000 out of your pocket to buy this asset, but you're going to capture an additional $192,000 in equity, a 62% return on investment when it comes to the capital gains. And that's not the only thing this asset's going to do for you. This asset's going to produce cash flow, about $4,200 per month. That represents a 16.3% return on investment just on the cash on cash. Where else are you getting 16% on your money? Probably nowhere else but this particular asset. Where else are you capturing an additional $192,000 in equity over and above the $308,000 that you're putting into the asset, which gives you just shy of $500,000 of equity in this asset? Imagine your net worth going up by 62% just by buying the asset. Now, this is a great asset for somebody within the Lifestyles Unlimited community, and they're going to put it in their portfolio. And you know what? It's going to pay them five different ways. And they're going to be able to put government-backed financing on it. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for that free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.